Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Zach Girl Guide. Today, I am going to do an episode on a guide to saving money, spending money, basic finances. But this is just a friendly reminder that I am a humble podcaster that cannot give financial advice, and I do not intend to do so. I'm just sharing some of the things that I have learned, honestly, through just like research and reading and life experiences, you know. Before we jump into the episode, I want to first and foremost say thank you for being here. You guys are the best. I say it every week, but love, love, love you guys. And if you're new here, welcome to the That Girl Guide podcast, where all the episodes are just guides and episodes on how to become the very best version of yourself. And me on my journey, and my sister Ellie, who started the podcast, on hers. So we always love advice and feedback and any like requests for episodes. So feel free to message the That Girl Guide on Instagram. I respond to all of them. And we always do question boxes of what we will be talking about. So thank you guys for being here. Thank you for almost 2 million downloads. Super exciting. And I'm super excited for this episode because this is also, I think I say this like before every episode almost, that it was like a highly requested episode, but I do, to my previous point, try and do episodes on what you guys are like requesting and messaging me about. And I feel like I've gotten a lot of messages about like finances, saving and spending money. And then this week I finally got another one and they were like, can you please do an episode on finances? So this is for you. So I'm going to start by sharing a couple of quotes from the book Psychology of Money, which is where I feel like I got like most of my learnings from. I also have like listened to podcasts and like read a few other books on finances, but I feel like this is my favorite top book. It's definitely, I shouldn't say like a more mature read, but like a more mature read. It's, I don't want to say dull, but sometimes, but I do think it's a very insightful book. So I'll try and just give you like the good stuff, you know? So the first quote that I do feel very strongly about actually, and really like, and I try and remind myself of this actually often, is that one of the most powerful ways to increase your savings is not to raise your income. It's to raise your humility. Just going to let that sink in. The most powerful way to increase your savings is not to raise your income. It's to raise your humility. So this kind of like hits hard, honestly, especially because before reading this book, I was just like, I need to make more money. I need to make more money. I need to make more money. That was like always my thought process. But then reading this, it was that I needed to raise my humility. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not humble. But as previously mentioned, I am not a financial advisor. I'm just a humble podcaster. So just rephrasing that as we go into a guide to episodes, okay, or a guide to finance. Okay, so that's a great quote. And then it continues in the book to talk about that spending money to show people how much money you have is the fastest way to have less money. So humility, kindness, and respect will bring you more respect than horsepower ever will. So I just generally love those quotes from the book because it's, if you want to have money, it's about like not trying to show people you have money. And I do think that people often say that people with the most money aren't always people you necessarily know have money because they don't feel the need to brag about it or show that they have money, which I think is a great quality. I want to be humble generally, but being humble and showing humility about money is also great as well. And if you're just like spending money to show other people or flaunt it, I just don't think that's a great look. And you also then won't have money. So just like something on money and finances is, I feel like it's not, I don't want to say it's like frowned upon, but if you say like you want to have money or whatever, people often are like, well, then you're materialistic. But I don't really think that that's how I think of it or how others should think of it. There's a quote in there that says, controlling your time is the highest dividend money pays, which I think is a great quote. And then it also says that having a strong sense of controlling one's life is a more dependable predictor of positive feelings of well-being than any of the objective conditions of life. So I know people say like money doesn't buy happiness and stuff like that, which I totally, totally agree. And money is definitely not the most important things. But sometimes when you have money, or not money necessarily, but like are financially stable, you can control your time, and having a sense of being able to control your time has shown to like increase positive feelings of well-being and overall happiness, because you're not like stressed all the time, if that makes sense. So anywho, those are some of my favorite quotes from the book Psychology of Money. Like I said, feel free to read it. Sometimes it's a long read, but I did learn a lot in that book, and hopefully I can share just like the most important parts of it. So I'm basically going to, I compiled a bunch of y'all's questions and am kind of like summing them into three different questions or three different categories. The first one is just like how to save money generally. Questions about how to save money in this economy, how to save money when you don't earn and you don't get that much, how do you balance spending and saving? So there's the 50-30-20 rule, which I actually don't even know is talked about in the book or not, but that's just like a general, like if you Google how to save your money or like what's the like money rules kind of thing, it'll tell you the 50-30-20 rule. So the rule is 50%. So the 50-30-20 rule is that 50% of your income covers essential expenses. So that includes your rent, that includes your gas, your food, like essentials only. Then the 30% goes to discretionary income, which means like anything addition that like you don't necessarily need. Like you don't need a new shirt for a concert. Like you might want it, but like you don't need it. Or that includes a couch. Like you might want a couch, but like you don't need a couch to live. You know what I'm saying? So that's what the 30% includes. And then lastly, there's the 20%, which is allocated to saving, that you should save. That's like recommended. So if you're starting from ground zero, I would definitely start with the 50-30-20 rule. I think it's like a good basic rule that I kind of started with. Well, that's not true. When I was in high school and even throughout college, I don't feel like I saved enough and paid enough attention to this. So if you're in high school and you're in college, which most of you guys are that are listening, props to you for even listening to this and paying attention, because I wish I paid attention sooner. And there's like just so much to be said on compound interest and starting now versus starting later. But it's never too late to start. So if you're older like me, okay, I shouldn't say I'm older, I'm 26, but anyways, whatever your age, is never too late to start. But definitely the earlier you save, the better. Okay, but to the 50-30-20 rule, if you're starting from ground zero, that's like a great way to start. But then I think like you can flex that however you want. And like, what are you saving for? Also, like, do you donate to charity or other places? Do you invest in a 401k? If you do work or have a full-time job, you should always, always, always be investing in your 401k and definitely invest as much as your employer matches. No one really told me that for whatever reason when I started working, and I wish they would have. I'm not like a 401k expert by any means, but I definitely do match like what my employer matches. And in addition to that I did not know is that like you can put money aside for your 401k, but then you have to invest that money. No one told me that either, because otherwise it's just sitting there. So it's like tax-free money, which is great, but if you don't invest it, then it's just going to sit there for the next 50 years. So if you don't know what I'm talking about with a 401k, feel free to Google it. Again, I'm not like a 401k expert, but or DM me more questions. But if you do work full-time or are about to, just be thinking about that and invest that. Another thought tip I have is to auto-transfer in your bank account and to hide it from yourself. At least I do this for myself, because if money's there, I don't want to say I'm going to spend it, but I'm going to spend it. But if it's somewhere else, like I can't touch it. Like I can't like spend it. You know what I'm saying? So I set up like auto transfers in my bank account on like the days my paychecks come in to go to a separate bank account that like I don't really even have like a credit or debit card available to touch that bank account, if that makes sense. So I definitely recommend like auto transfer. So all that to say, how do you save in this economy? Like, where do you even start? Just start saving, whatever that looks like. If that's the 50-30-20, which means 20% is allocated to saving, great. If you can only do 10%, like that's totally okay. Like if you can only do 5%, like that's okay. Just like start somewhere and hide it from yourself. That's like my best tip on not spending it. And I'll talk more about that later. But just start somewhere. Like don't be overwhelmed. I think I started like trying to like listen to a bunch of podcasts about like saving money, and I started like reading, and I just got like so overwhelmed. I was like, what the crap? This is so confusing and also boring, but also important. So if you're listening to this and you're like kind of bored, but like kind of need to listen, hopefully I can make it interesting enough, but just like save something, like just save it. Then that's like my very, very best advice. And I've said this on previous episodes. This is something my dad always says, but small and simple things are great things come to pass, and the power of compound interest is huge. So if you just save like $1 every day or 5% a month or whatever it is, it will compound over time. So definitely do not sleep on just the little things, you know, whatever you can set aside to save, you definitely should, even if it's hard, even if you're not making a ton of money. Which, speaking of, I got a ton of questions on how to get a good paying job as a student, what are best jobs and side hustles, what to do if you don't have a lot of income, which I totally get, especially in high school, in college, like, and even when you are working in the real world, like, stuff adds up, like a fireplace getting fixed or like a car tire popping, like, stuff is just like expensive. So I totally get it. I think I don't have like the best answer in the whole world for side hustles, but I definitely have looked into it a lot. I used to have like a folder on TikTok of like random side hustles that people suggested on TikTok. I would not suggest doing that because all of them were just like trying to get you to buy something, I decided. And I don't want to say they were frauds, but they just kind of like, I don't know. I looked into a lot of like the side hustles that people suggested and they weren't really ever real. So here's my best advice for like students and stuff. Sales. I'm not a sales girly in the sense, okay, and I have personally have not done door-to-door sales or anything like that, or like phone sales or anything. But in college, I noticed that the people that were making the most money were people that were doing sales. I don't personally think that that's always like a long-term career or like a long play. But if you need some money in school, sales is like a great way to start. Like I had multiple friends work at call centers or like pest control companies, and you can make like a decent good amount of money for not having experience. It definitely is like a personality type that people have to have, but you make good money, so that's an idea. I also have, but like I said, I haven't done it. Another thing that I've heard of people doing is donating blood and plasma. I also have not done that, so I can't speak to how much exactly you get paid, if it's painful or whatever, but I have heard it's pretty simple. And also, like, when you're young, it's pretty easy for people to do, and you have, like, good and healthy blood and plasma. I think plasma is more painful than blood, but like I said, just a humble podcaster girl, I haven't even done either of those things, but I have heard of people doing that and getting some extra income for that, and maybe you can just set that aside for savings or for a car or a trip or maybe your rent, like, whatever it is. The next thing I would suggest is and this is more of like a long-term thing, though, I will say, but social media, podcast, here I am doing a podcast, really doesn't makes like a couple dollars. So it's been like a year and a half. So I definitely am not rolling in it, but it's definitely a side thing. I just like do it on the side. Social media, I obviously post too, and you can, and I work, full-time for a beauty brand, and I work with influencers and on our social teams and stuff too. So I see how much like influencers and stuff get paid. And again, it doesn't happen like over time, but if you want to start making TikToks or whatever, it definitely could be a potential side hustle, but definitely not as like quick as getting a sales job or like donating blood or plasma or something. It definitely would take like a second to build up a following and stuff. But just another idea, just throwing out ideas here, guys. Next is selling something online. Etsy is like a super easy place to sell stuff. People sell like art, they sell t-shirts, they sell ebooks, they sell tutorials. So I would recommend if you are artsy to definitely do that. I am not artsy, sadly, at all. That is not one of my skills. But I can always work on it, but it's not currently. So if I was, I totally would sell stuff on there just for like some extra income and like a great creative outlet. I wish I had more of a creative outlet. This is kind of my creative outlet though. But all that to say, like, if you're looking for like a side hustle as you're in high school or in college, or even like you have a full-time job but like it's not fully paying the bills and you want like extra side hustle, or you're a mom or whatever, definitely recommend those things. And if anyone has other good ideas, always send them to me and I will definitely share them, because I'm still looking for side hustles too, you know. But something that I feel as if I've read a lot and heard a lot of people saying is to not work for your time. I don't think that's the right quote, but something like, if you can set up something that makes money while you sleep, that's how you'll make the most kind of money, which I don't think can happen like necessarily when, well, that's not true. It can happen when you're in high school. I would say it's probably not like super common, or college, or even like right out of college or full time. So it definitely takes like a second, but if you can find something that pays you while you sleep, that's always the move. I have not found that. But if anyone has any ideas, like I said, I'm open, but hopefully some of those like ideas and suggestions do help. Okay, last category of stuff. So like the first question was just like, how do you save money? The second question is, how do you like find a job, have side hustles if you're not making a ton? And then the last question or category is how to not spend all of your money. I think this was like the number one question asked. How do you help yourself not spend money on non-important things? How do I keep myself from spending too much money all the time? Love your podcast. Shout out. Thank you. How often is it okay to treat yourself? How do you limit yourself to buying this when you first stop working? How do you refrain from impulse buying? So a quote that my dad often says is hard, easy, easy, hard. So if it's hard now, it'll be easy later. But if it's easy now, it'll be hard later. So I think about this in a lot of areas in my life, actually, because I feel like it applies to a lot of things, but I will use it in the example of money, that if it's easy now and you're just like spending your money and you're not worried about it, then like it might be hard later because you didn't save your money. And similarly, if it's kind of hard now and you're kind of pinching pennies and you're saving all your money, hopefully it'll be easier later because you saved your money. And generally speaking, I kind of said this at the beginning, but I'll say it again. Like, I do just really wish that I paid a little bit more attention to money when I was younger and just saved a little more. Granted, I think I've done a decent job educating myself, on money-ish. But I just wish I would have done it earlier. So easy, hard, hard, easy. So that's just like something when you just like want to buy something, just be like, okay, well, if it's easy now and I just buy it, it will be harder later. So that's like something just to keep in mind, just a general thought. And then this thought isn't for everyone, but personality is like mine. The more I think about something, the harder it becomes. And so I've kind of talked about this on the health and nutrition episodes, but like the more I think about like food and like restrict myself eating, like the more I end up eating because I'm restricting myself. And similarly with money, the more I'm like really thinking about how I can't spend money and what I can't do and what I can't buy, then the more money I like want to spend. It's kind of weird. It's like, so I would also just like encourage you, like definitely save money. And like I mentioned earlier, like I have auto transfers on my bank account. Like I literally hide it from myself. So then I'm not like really thinking about it all the time and I'm not overwhelmed and I'm not stressed and I'm not like, oh my gosh, I'm going to like lose all of my money, or like I don't have enough money to buy things. Like I just set aside the money, I save as much as I possibly can all the time every month, and then like I'm not like over consumed with it. And if that's not you and that doesn't pertain to you, like amazing, like doesn't have to pertain to you, just throwing out that thought because that is something like a personal thing that I struggle with. So if you also struggle with that, and then just generally with like shopping and not spending money, same thing. I wish I knew sooner and wish like I would have like taught myself sooner or heard this podcast sooner. So hopefully this is super helpful, and feel free to send this to a friend or family member that like struggles with finances or spending money or impulse buying is just around shopping. That like tips that I have like I've started that I actually like really like and help, and they might sound weird, but don't hate on them until you do them. So first is when I'm out shopping with my friends, I can be shopping alone actually. Before I buy something, I take a picture of it, and I do not like, again, this is like recent, so like I've probably been doing this for like a year. So if you're my friend that I shopped with in college, don't come for me, because I know I didn't do this then, but I wish I did, because I was an impulse buyer. Like, I cannot like stress that enough. Like, I was a crazy impulse buyer. Like, I would do a great job, like just say no, staying away from it, not even thinking about it. Then I'd go shopping with friends, and I would just like spend all of my money. Okay, not all of it, but like more than I should, you know? So anywho, this is what has helped me. So I take a picture of it in the store. Like, if it's cute, like I like the shirt, like I like the belt, I like the jeans, whatever they might be, I take a picture of it, but I do not buy it. I go into another store, like just don't buy it. Like, if I walk into the other store, I look back at the picture, like, yeah, sure, of course I can go back. Or better yet, I try and leave the shopping time without like really buying anything. And then if I come back, if I want to go back to the mall, guess what? I can, but also I can buy it online. And then like, I'm not just like impulse shopping. However, like if I'm going to the mall for a specific, like I need like a dress for a wedding, like, okay, that's fine. That is on my shopping list, which is my next tip. And this is my number one tip. I posted a Instagram reel about this on the That Girl Guide of my shopping list. And this has really, 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 really helped me, because similarly, if I take a picture in store or I'm online shopping and I really like something, I'm like, oh, is it on my shopping list? So like, people make a shopping list for like the grocery store, but like, why aren't we making a grocery list of, okay, I guess I want to be a grocery list, but why are we making a shopping list of like clothes that we need? So like, oh, I'm going on a trip, I need this. Or like, I have my friend's graduation, so I need this. Or I'm going to school and I need to wear a certain attire, like whatever it might be, I don't know. But make a shopping list of like stuff that you need. And so then, yeah, when you go to the store with your friends, you're like, oh, I have these like five things on my shopping list, let me see if I can find them. And then when you see something cute and you're like, oh, well, that's not really like on my shopping list. Do I really need it? So then you leave the store, you look back at your picture and you're like, oh, do I really want that? Is it on my shopping list? No. Can I add it to my shopping list? Sure. And like, if you really need it, like for sure, like add it to your shopping list. Or if like you just, it's something you want, like, of course you can buy things you want sometimes. But I'm just trying to be better at buying stuff that I like need / sometimes I need a cute shirt. Really, I just want it, but I'm telling myself I need it. And that's okay too. So it doesn't have to be like so limiting, but just like adding it to your shopping list and just being like, okay, is this like really reasonable? And then also, I've talked about this on Finding Personal Style episode. The Locker app is like a recent find of mine that I really like. And this can house like, you know, a bunch of different things that you're shopping for or looking for. So if you're, again, shopping for a certain event, time of year, whatever it might be, you can make like a shopping list. Or if you just like see a bunch of cute things, like you can just like add them all to your list. But then I feel like it helps me house it in one place, because sometimes I don't buy things because I didn't want to like lose it or like forget about it. But truth is, if you forgot about it, you probably didn't need it. But besides the point, but then everything in the like Locker app can be housed. It's like a Pinterest, but for shopping, I would say. Anywho, I really like that, because then I can just like house everything there and I can get like still cute ideas and stuff. And if I ever want to go back, obviously I can, but then I'm not just like buying stuff. So I have gotten, I would say I'm actually pretty proud of myself, like significantly better at not just impulse buying, at not just like buying stuff. And yes, it's okay to treat yourself, but like, how often are you treating yourself? You know what I'm saying? And what are you treating yourself for? And I'm trying to be better at like, if it's my birthday or if it's a friend's birthday, like, of course, like treat your friend, treat yourself, like whatever. But it doesn't need to be like every day or every hour, you know? So those are my best tips and tricks. Hard, easy, hard. Don't think about it too much, and take a picture in the store, make yourself a shopping list. Mine's just in my notes app. I like the Locker app if you like that to house like ideas and inspiration. But that's all we have today. I hope that was helpful. I hope that helps someone. Like I said, like, hopefully that wasn't too boring, because finances can be kind of boring, but I do think they're important. And like I said previously, having a strong sense of controlling one's life is a more dependable predictor of positive feelings of well-being than any of the objective conditions of life. So basically, if you can like control your life, and you control your life often by having money to be able to control it, then hopefully you can be happier. Money does not buy happiness, though, but it can buy time or other things. Okay. The other, like, I'm trying to just like sum it up. I would say that there's this like one other quote in the book Psychology of Money that I think is relevant to all of life, actually, but that in quotes, like, he didn't attach himself to one strategy, one worldview, or one passing trend. So I think that's true for like your savings and your spending habits and stuff. Like, you don't have to have just like one way that you do things. Like, it's okay to like learn and evolve and continuing to like listening to podcasts or read books or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's just like relevant for life. Like, if it's working for you today, doesn't mean it's going to work for you tomorrow. You know, it's always important to like learn and grow. Last thing that I should address or talk about that like wasn't necessarily like a question, but something that I have learned is people are like, oh, save your money, save your money. I'm like, yes, save your money. But then people are like, well, where do you put your money? And that is a very personal thing. So I will like defer to you, obviously, you listening, because that like varies for per everyone. Some people want to invest in a house. Some people want to invest in like a money market or the stock market, whatever it is. I personally, after reading Psychology of Money, invest most of my money. So when I save it, some just goes into like a savings account. But then a lot of it goes just into like the S&P 500 or the, usually just S&P 500. Because historically over time, like, it does fluctuate day to day, which is why I don't look at it. But historically over time, if you keep it in there for like 10, 20 years, it goes up over time. And that's like a pretty safe bet. But if you're like super interested in a certain industry or niche or fashion brand, and you've done a lot of research in them, like, totally, I suggest investing in it. But if you have a very limited knowledge of any of that stuff, like I do, S&P 500, pretty basic, pretty easy, not a ton of research, and it's a pretty safe bet. Will it like make you millions of dollars? Definitely not, but it's compounding, so that's always good. And just save your money as you can. So anyways, I hope something in here was helpful. And I appreciate you guys for listening. I appreciate you guys for being here. Like I said, I'm so grateful for you. And feel free to send this to friends, family member, spouse, bestie, whoever that might want to listen. And as always, message me on the That Girl Guide if you have any questions, feedback, requests for next episodes. Thank you so much for almost 2 million. And I hope everyone has an amazing, amazing day. And until I will be back next week. I might go to bi-weekly, I'm going to be honest. These are hard to do. Not hard, but they're just a lot. And I want to make sure I'm giving you guys the best quality. So let me know your guys' thoughts. But I'm going to try to keep doing these every week, but they might go to bi-weekly. Okay. Anyways, have a great day, everyone. You're the best. Love you. Bye.